Rodolfo, does that mean you were spitting on the floor?
Herminio, no. We were light, very light, and could not walk normally. I had the impression that we were like stepping and not finding the step.
Loss of equilibrium.
Herminio, yes, exactly. Loss of equilibrium. You step on the ground, but you don't feel it.
Even though you are on the ground, up to now there was nothing about flying saucers, nothing about.
I thought at that moment that they were people from here, that they had gotten us by mistake and were going to do some experiment with us. And there I really became afraid, because they were people completely unknown to us. And in my mind I was connected to God, with Jehovah, and I thought I was having a bad dream, something bad that could not be real, and I wanted to wake up from this situation. As soon as we got down we reached a metal floor, and I was looking up, looking at where I came from, and I looked around. I had the impression that we were in a hangar, also round but very big, maybe the size of a city block, real big one, and there were many objects, like the same one from which we were taken, and there were smaller and bigger craft also, but in the center there was a bigger one.
Rodolfo, in the form of a discus.
Herminio, no, they were more like firefighter hats, higher in the middle. It was like the discs UFOs that are usually seen today, but the upper part was much taller. There were no windows, but in certain parts of the craft we could see outside. From the outside you can't see in, but from the inside we were able to see out, but as mentioned, only from certain parts of the ship, in a place that looked like a windshield.
Rodolfo, what color was this window?
And the craft?
Herminio, they were a little different from the rest of the wall, but it was dull, like the other parts inside, and the color was like a lead color.
I did not have a chance to come closer but saw it from a distance. The ships looked from outside like they were made from aluminium. From outside we could see that it was like aluminium in color, but in these places that I call windows the aluminium was a little lighter color, so we were able to distinguish it.
Outside, in the outer part, the round part, when they start to depart, the ring, where there is another ring, that looks like it is made of crystal, clear crystal, they became incandescent.
Rodolfo, is it clear as crystal?
Herminio, I do not know if it like a crystal, look like crystal, is crystal,
it is clear that the ring is like.
The energy collector, they said that this mechanism that they called a Mondagem assembly, collects electrons from the air, the electrons that come from our sun, and the electrons charge the batteries, and the batteries take the electrons to the engines of the ship. That is why when they come close to a car, it loses all its electrical power, and when going over a city it makes the city go dark, because they use all the electrons that are in the wires, and they suck up all the energy, electrical energy that is made by electrons. When they come close, or fly low, it is like they take that energy with them.
Rodolfo, did you travel in one of those machines?
Herminio, I told you that. I was taken by one of the machines and that one went into a bigger machine, that I now know is called a mothership. I did not see the mothership from outside, and I did not walk through it while I was there inside. This is a drawing I am making, so you can see how it was. It was landed on three supports like this, sketching. I am not a good artist, but this will give you an idea of the shape of the ship. From the hangar we went to a wall and a door opened like the doors you see in a supermarket or airports, open to the sides in two parts. One goes to the left and the other to the right at the same time. When we were walking to the wall I saw no door, and I was upset. Then the wall opened up, and we got into an elevator there. Something like we already know here. When the door opened again we came out into a room, of a squared shape, filled with apparatus, and they were ugly. They were the same color as the walls. We had the impression that the room was empty, but it was filled with these apparatus. They were spread out and joined to the walls, and now the light was not coming from the walls, but from the ceiling, like the sunlight, and must as brilliant, but with no central light focus or source. And interestingly, there were some seats that did not look like the kind we are accustomed to. They were not similar to our chairs or lounges, but were like two cylinders, round and tall. They made us sit there, and when we sat there it felt very soft, very sensitive, and after you sat or while you were sitting they took the form of your body and then is transformed into a lounge and they followed your movements, whether you shifted left or right or lay back. If you lay down it is a bed.
but our feet did not touch the floor, because they were tall. Possibly they were made for them being such tall people, and not for us who were like dwarfs compared to them. It was there that they performed on us many kinds of physical examinations. They passed an instrument the size of your recorder, a mini recorder, through our arms, and it felt like the hair on the skin stood up. At that moment we felt a kind of anesthesia or numbness, and the instrument was taking some readings, but I don't know what they were. Later they used an apparatus like a looking glass that was made like a tube, like the one an ophthalmologist uses to look into your eyes, possibly a light conducting glass rod, or some kind of fiber-optic type viewing instrument. When he used this apparatus I had the impression that he would press a button and the whole instrument glowed with red light, and the light was the same color as the energy collector that I mentioned before. And he was looking with this inside our eyes like as if he could see behind our eyes into our brains and parts inside, or maybe he was examining our eye structure. He did not say what he was doing, so I do not know. Later they placed us inside a transparent box that seemed to be made of glass. First they put Bianca inside it, through a door that opened in one of the sides. There were two red lights that emitted a diffuse red light, one in the top and one in the side, but I did not see what they showed. After Bianca was put inside the box it started turning red, and Bianca was bathed in that red light on all sides. From outside I could hardly see Bianca inside, I could only see her shadow inside, and I became desperate. Rodolfo, and how was Bianca feeling? Hermenio, I don't know. She was standing there inside, standing still. I did not know what was happening because very little could I see of what was happening to her. I tried to get up and get closer to the box and to save Bianca, because I thought she might be getting fried or baked alive, or killing her because the light was the color of fire. One of these beings placed his hand over my shoulder and kept me there seated. And I was talking without interruption, very nervous with fear, and very frightened. Because at that time I came to the conclusion that we were inside of a flying saucer. I had told Bianca before that if we were inside a flying saucer we would never get back home. And according to the little I had heard about them, people picked up by them would end up crazy. That's what some people said of these things. By now I was certain that I was inside one of these machines, but I was not sure if they really were from another planet, because according to what I had learned from the Bible, life originated here on Earth, and that is what I also used to teach, that life had originated here from Adam and Eve, and never in space. Well, after some time the light was diminishing, till everything was clear again and they had Bianca removed, and she was alright, and then they put me inside, and then I knew what that red light does to the body. The light paralyzes you, and besides that, all the hair on your body stands up and you have the impression that you and your whole body gets bigger, swollen, and the whole body goes into a nameless condition. There is a high point and then it starts diminishing until it is completely gone and you are back in your normal state. They open the door and you get out, and they do not explain anything. Until that moment was not answered to me anything, despite the fact that I was always asking them questions, and I came to the conclusion that they did not understand what I was saying, and we did not understand what they were saying. Later they touched my chest with another apparatus, and then the bottom of that thing came out and hit my chest and I became unconscious. I blanked out. Bianca told me later that, after that one of them left and she was standing there alone with the other one, and the unconscious, Bianca was crying desperately, because she thought I was killed and were dead. He seemed to understand the nervousness and desperation of Bianca. She wished to come closer to me, but he would not let her. He was making a gesture to her by putting his fingers close to his nose and breathing heavily, trying to make her understand that I was alive. Bianca was not comforted and was not satisfied by his explanations and was still very nervous. It was then that he took a small apparatus, and pointing it at objects items inside that room, would make them fly close to the face of Bianca, and make them float and perform maneuvers there in the air. He smiled and seemed to want to call Bianca's attention to these effects, so she would stop worrying about me. Soon I started removing, showing that I was alive, and I tried to sit up, and at that moment I was conscious of everything that was happening. When the being that left before returned to the room, they came close to me, and Bianca and took now Bianca by the arm and me by the hand, and took us to another room where the walls looked like they were made of polished silver. There were enormous machines inside that room. It was a very silent place, almost impossibly silent. A feeling of peace and tranquility. Rodolphe. For a mystic silence. Hermenio, I don't know if it was mystic or not. Point one could not even think or rationalize on that. Again, they have us seated in lounges of the same type as before, and now they are telling me by signs that they are going to put some equipment on our heads, which they then proceeded to do, a helmet filled with wires and little lights. They put these things on me and Bianca. They also put on our arms an apparatus like a large bracelet. It was connected to something by wires. Then they seated themselves in other seats. I was facing Bianca and they were facing both of us. At our sides there was a big equipment console that went from floor to ceiling, covered also with lights, indicators, and other things of that kind, and also what looked like buttons and knobs. I do not know what they were for. And then a third person came into the room, because until that moment I only knew two people. The third took a look at us and went to the machine connecting all the cables that were around on the floor. He connected the cables to the machine that was at our side. He also connected the big bracelet that we had with wires to another small box that was at one side. With Bianca he did the same thing. He took the wires that were coming from her helmet and connected them to the two extraterrestrials' helmets, and then he left saying nothing to anybody. But I noticed something interesting. They look as if they were all twins. They all looked the same. There was only a slight difference between them. One may be a little taller than the other. Later I was to find that they were all like that, because they are all of one race only. On their planet there is only one race and one type of people. They call their planet Terra, like we call our Earth in Portuguese, Terra. After the third man left they started talking to each other. One of them had a large apparatus on his lap that he was working on, like a calculator, with an old-style adding machine, filled with a lot of small lights. He was working with his machine, while talking to the other. Colored lights went on and off as he was talking, and operating that machine on his lap. Here on Earth he would be considered a very fast typist by the way he was operating the machine. While he was typing on that machine lights would light up in the helmet on his head, and in the one on the other also, and in the machine beside us the lights were running fast. A blue light like an electric welder's torch would also shoot through the console, and we were enchanted by the beauty of the lights. Suddenly Bianca said to me, "Now, they are talking to me." But I was not hearing anything and I said, "Why aren't they talking to me also? What are they telling you?" He had directed his attention to Bianca, and was talking to her, and I heard Bianca saying, thank you, and who are you?" But I could not hear the answers. I could only see Bianca's head nodding, meaning that she was understanding what they were saying. Then he made a signal to Bianca meaning that he was going to stop, and directed his attention to me. Then suddenly I heard in my ears the helmets had a bulge in the side like earphones, and I heard a voice in Portuguese saying to me, "Be welcome," and I was surprised by this. I did not handle myself as calmly as Bianca. She looked calm. I do not remember if I answered his greeting. I didn't know what to do. I felt a blank in my mind, a kind of confusion that came to my mind since I was a very religious man who would not believe in flying saucers, and a man who thought that the flying saucers were not from heaven, but something that came from the devil. The first thing that came to my mind was to ask him, "Who are you?" And he answered, "I am Karen." And immediately I asked him, "Karen, from where, from what nation?" And he answered, "From no nation." "How no nation?" "From another planet." And then the answer was positive. "Yes, from another land." "How from another land?" I asked, "How from another land? If the Bible does not say anything about this, Karen, we are from other land, and from a distance not known yet to the men of your land." Hermenio, and suddenly the facts from the Bible came to my mind, and I thought I was talking with the devil himself, and I started to exercise. In the name of Jesus, I want you to be gone. And I raised my voice eloquently, and I started throwing over him all my knowledge, my biblical knowledge, and I was thinking that all this was a vision, that it was not real, and that it was prepared by the devil himself. And I started to exercise again. I was quoting Bible texts. I involved the name of Jesus, and so on, and so on, until I emptied all my knowledge about the subject, and my voice was going lower and low, and I was looking to him and him looking at me, without any interference. He never stopped me. He let me speak until the end of my voice, until I was W. Then I stopped. And he kept looking at me silently, and probing my thoughts. Then there was a deep silence, and then I heard his voice talking to me in my own language, in Portuguese. Karen, I am Karen. Did you finish? Herminio, yes. And then he asked, Karen, do all the people in your land think like you? Herminio, no. And then deep within myself, I said to myself, how stupid I am. How stupid I am. And in that moment I felt sorry for myself. I felt sorry for not knowing the four things relating to UFOs and extraterrestrial beings, or even science fictions. I was not a person interested in this subject and was never interested, and that hurt me in some way. As you see, Casalotto, I went over him with Bible facts and everything, and I asked him, is there religion in your land, where you come from? Because I was a religious man, and I had to know if he was a religious man like myself. And I asked him again, is there religion in your land? And he answered, Karen, there is no need for religion. We do not have need for religion. He was speaking in his language, but the machine was translating it into Portuguese for our ears, and when we talked, the machine would instantly translate it into his language and he would hear the translation in his own language. Herminio, but the Bible? Don't you have a Bible? There is the Word of God. And he said that he knew of that document, that we call Bible, from people from our earth. I found this strange, but since I was not aware of all the facts, I continued to ask about if he ever saw it, and if he had ever come close to the presence of God, and if God is in a shape like us. Well, you see, a man like me, who has been teaching all about God for 12 years, was there asking of a stranger, asking everything about God from somebody that was saying that he has no religion, and I suddenly felt, from the way he was speaking, that he had a knowledge about God that I could never imagine or think. He taught me not to believe in the existence of any, but he had transmitted to me a knowledge about God that I could never think of. He taught me not to believe in the existence of God, but the way to feel his existence. So he was saying that they love him and respect him by the ground that you step on, and he showed me the floor, and we also walk on, by the air that you breathe, and that we also breathe, and by the water that you drink, and we too. And he continued to say that everything that you do, whether to watch and admire, or to feed yourself, dress, everything comes from the Supreme Creator, and it is through all these things that we love him and respect him, and that the answer that I want to know about God was never answered to any living being here on this planet, or to any other living being on any other planet, and that these are answers that nobody has. Who is God, and where is he, or how he really is? And our conversation was extending itself into religion. He returned many times to talk with Bianca, and I could hear Bianca ask him questions, but could not hear the answers, because they would talk like on different channels. When he spoke and gave answers to Bianca, I could not hear. The same happened when he spoke to me. Bianca could not hear it. I had the impression that he wanted us to talk to him. And before he spoke all of this to me, he said that I should come and be tranquil, because we would be returning to our land soon. And it was then that I asked him, where were we? And he said that the place where we were wasn't important. What was important was where we had come from. That was the matter of importance for them. I also asked other questions about their planet, how they live, and we had a very interesting talk about that. Because they all seem to be of the same age, I asked him if they grow old as we do, and he said that their age is not related to the age of matter, and I found that strange, that they do not get old. They do not calculate the time as we do, or the time of an existence. To illustrate, he said that he was older than the oldest ancestor of Bianca. That means he would have to be over 500 minus 1,000 years old. and he looked young, like an age of 25 years. Hermenyoj, do they look like they exist physically, like us?
Yes, they were as physical as we are on this plane, and he was telling me that they know a process in which they can keep the cells of matter, or our body, alive and renewing for a long, long time, and that they also separate from matter, like we separate from matter, but it takes a much longer time than for us, and what we call death they call a separation from matter. They said that when matter, corporeal matter, reaches a certain stage, when the cells are no longer able to rejuvenate or reproduce themselves, and when they do not have more reasons to continue life, that they leave the body and the matter is destroyed. And then they return into a new body, in the body of a newborn infant, by the same process as we do, by sexual reproduction, though they have other processes also, but the normal process of reproduction, the original process, is the most perfect that exists, and it is the correct process. And when the new matter is prepared, corporeal matter, it is transfused with the old body knowledge, so that all the knowledge before, is maintained forever, and they do not lose their previous consciousness. They said that we same thing happens to us. The only thing, that is different is that we are not conscious of the fact. We kept talking till the moment that he wanted to know about my faith, in what I believed, and do not believe. That was when we talked about our spirit. I was telling him that my religion taught that in the event of death or loss of the body, we would not be alive like a spirit, or as a solar energy, and at the time of death the body would be destroyed, but the memories of our life lived as a human being and the good accomplished and good actions and the will of God would be engraved in the God memory, and we would await the moment of resurrection, and then God would make a new body of matter again, and would incarnate in that body the previous personality, and make it come to life again. I was telling this to him, that this was taught by my religion.
Rodolfo, and what did he say?
Hernanio, he said that he would not tell me about that matter. He said the matter, corporeal, of your body could not answer anything without any real presence, and he was telling me that I should know myself, that I should get out of my body in order to have the awareness of the spiritual, being that we all are, including him, himself. That we lost that type of consciousness including other registers of knowledge, because of a cosmic accident. That accident was responsible for our separation, and prevented the interchange that existed between many races. We have suffered from that lack of interchange due to the accident with planet Earth. That accident affected not only our planet, but also all in the system. It was affected by the excess radiation that came from our sun. Karen said that in a time already lost in the ages our sun gave out many solar explosions on a large scale, and the explosions generated a great energy wave that blew up the protective systems of our planet. A system of radiation filters was broken. And these excesses of radiation in pulsating waves has pushed our planet from its original position in space, and at the same time the Earth suffered an acceleration in its movements and shifted its own axis. An overflow of sea waters in great tidal waves reached high levels in cities and habitation centers that existed here before. And the seas destroying these life centers seriously damaged this planet, destroying almost everything that was here, at that time. But the major consequence of that were not the material damage, but the excess of radiation penetrating the matter body of the arrivals. He said that the brain activity was diminished and we lost the register of knowledge of ourselves, we lost the knowledge of ourselves and we became brutes, aggressive, we became like, and he said, that the excess of radiation created a magnetic barrier between the system and their system, and they could not get through that barrier, and that it took almost 3,000 years of our time, till they could come through again. They did not come through during that time, because of the excess radiation, which was damaging to them. Something that I found very interesting, Casalotto, he said that a strong register, memory, was kept very strong in the minds of the people of this planet, by the survivors. He said two registers were alive in the minds of the people. One was a natural register that is very strong, and even the solar radiation did not destroy it. It was greatly diminished but not erased. And the other is intrana. That is the register of God existence, of a creator, of something superior.
even with their minds fogged by their diminished brain activities, by the lack of activity in memory, man looks for God. As a result of this trauma, every time they approached the inhabitants of this planet, they were received as if they were gods, and were adored as gods come from heaven, the sky. They were persecuted by others, and sometimes attacked, in fear as a result of the trauma. He said that we are descendants of 11 other races that came from many of the inhabited planets, and came to Earth. And I am going to use a word that I don't much like. They colonized, they built inhabited centers here. Each race had its own way of living, their own technology, but they lived in peace with each other. The Earth was then in its own correct position, which did not offer danger to the minds of the people. And he said that many of these races disappeared after that accident, the cosmic accident. And after all this, a new 12th race emerged in this land. Rodolfo, did they mix their own race with us? Was there any race here at that time? Hermingo, no, there was no other race here at that time. They supplied the matter for the new race, in order for a new race to be formed here, but a few people survived, so we may say that there were some people here. He said that the races that were here at the beginning of the accident expected that craft would arrive in the sky and would take them away from this planet, but they did not know, or were not conscious of the magnetic barrier that existed at that time, which originated from the solar activity and prohibited the outsiders FRWN coming in. Help could not come in, and the people who were here could not get out. And that expectation, that salvation would come from the sky, was registered in the minds even till today. You may note this in all the religions of Earth. And they teach that we will depart to the sky. And he continued, saying that this is deeply engraved in our memories, and we still hope today that they will come to save us from this Earth, that they will come to solve our problems, and to remove us from here. All the religions, he said, in one way or another teach something like that. They teach us that when we die we go to heaven, the sky, and that Jesus will come from heaven, again the sky, and will take us to heaven. Some say that we are exiled from other planets, that we are here to pay for our sins, and so on. The theories are many. Perhaps they do agree in some respects with what Karen said about that. When we returned to Earth, we found that we had been missing for 2 days, which we were not even aware of. We had talked a lot with Karen. He taught us many new things. We were feeling, and still feel, like we had taken a trip into the future where we saw and touched things, marvelous things, fantastic things. And then we return to the past, and the past is our present, in which we are living now, and we can do almost nothing about it. We are plagued with a burning question. Why? Why? We know a few things. We know how to do a few things. I teach those techniques in the school. Here in Sao Paulo, we teach people to know themselves, because they said that the elevation of the consciousness of man on this planet is going to bring us closer to them. It would not be a military contact, it would not be a government-to-government contact, nor from people to people, but a contact with a humanity thinking with a different head, thinking the way they think,